Welcome to the Talk Over podcast, a conversational platform for the DJs, by the DJs, brought to you by Double and Stylus.
Swag.
Tune in every week to hear us talk about all the things we see, hear and experience as DJs. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel by simply searching Talk Over podcast on either Spotify or Apple Music.
Hashtag Talk Over Podclart.
Podclarticus. Bogwan Maji.
In the building.
In the build.
DJ Double and... Oh, what do we call you now?
I told you I ran away and changed my identity, bruv.
Is it DJ Stylo?
Stixlo.
Stixilo. It's just Stixilo.
Fucking
Stixilo.
This guy's a dick, you know.
I swear you deleted my comment when I slewed you with your name.
Yeah, I did. I deleted it. Fucking deleted it, bro. I don't even care. I was in a mood that day, and I was like, "Why is this guy sending for me all the time?" I was sulking.
I bet you were proper cussing me out, innit? Fucking.
I wasn't cussing you out. Actually, I can't even remember what post it was on now. I just remember seeing it and thinking, "I'm deleting him."
I think it was a flyer, but the flyer said Stylus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was the last flyer that I had Stylus on, but basically that was signed off before. Do you know what? The promoter was not happy. Yeah, that was the booking I was just done in Doha.
Yeah.
And he was like, wow, why would you change it? Like, well, I've just put all the artwork on. Well, I wasn't even thinking, bro. Like, I had it in my head for time, and I just thought, you know, I'm just going to do it. Start of the year and that. Just get it out of the way. And yeah, the promoter was not happy. Guys, what? The guy said what? What? Say that again. What did he say?
I didn't say anything. I was laughing.
This guy's a dick, man. I've not even got the energy to argue with you today, so feel free to slew me, bro. It's all good.
No, I can't have you leaving this episode in a mood.
Nah, it's all good, mate. I'll survive. Yeah. I wasn't even going to record. I was like 10 minutes away from not recording.
Are you going to cancel on me, leave me to do flyer solo again?
Yeah, I was after last week, after your dry out solo podcast. I'm not listening to it. I don't even want to hear it, bro. Talking about fucking earplugs.
So let's talk about
what's going on, man.
Overworking. Let's talk about today, overworking yourself, and when can you switch off? Because,
yeah,
like, just for example, today.
Right now,
there's a lot of people I know in conventional jobs, like 9-to-5 jobs, and they basically at 5 p.m. when they leave the office, that's when they leave the job. But obviously, yeah, as
they
a
get
DJ,
to go home and put their feet up, put the PJs on, slippers on, cup of coffee in that,
and just watch Love Island and do nothing.
Bruv, I see these people tweeting about Love. I'm like, it's on for like 6 weeks and it's on every night or something.
Yeah.
And they're tweeting about it. I'm like, yo, do you man not have nothing to do?
I know. Bruv, I feel exactly the same. But yeah, like normal people, I say normal people, you know what I mean. But normal people with normal jobs get to turn everything off at 5 p.m. when they finish, drive home, and then that's it, their work. Majority of people, their work is left at work. But I was obviously with DJs, I feel like the grind is non-stop. Like, it's just
no time to sleep, bro. There's no time to sleep.
It's constant. But at the same time, I do see quite a few successful DJs, like very successful DJs, and it doesn't look like they're working all the time. So like, where do you think the balance is, and is there a point where you can get to where it's like you can maintain the success levels going up without putting in that daily 20 hours of work? Like, where do you think it is, and what do you think the balance is about?
Bro, do you know what? Yeah, I never really had a balance. This was the thing. Like, I always just used to think, oh, just go ham, like 24/7 in it. And like, I'd see everybody on, like, you'd read into social media and follow all these other DJs, and everyone's just going super ham. Next guy's going as hard as the other guy, and you just kind of get roped into this rat race of just who can go the hardest and who's doing the most, when in reality Like, you just got to learn to take a break from time to time. Like, I've just had the craziest 2-3 weeks ever, bro, and I felt ill all weekend, man.
Yeah.
Like, yesterday, I just didn't move all day. I was just on the couch all day. Woke
lazy
up today,
and bitch.
Lazy bitch, this guy.
I'm sorry. I've
took about 10 flights in the last 2 weeks, bro.
Yeah, that's
and
mad.
And then, oh, bro, I got home on When did I get home? I don't even know what day it is. It's Monday today.
Yeah, Monday.
Yeah, I got home on Tuesday night at like 7, and I had to be back at the airport for the next day. The flight got changed. It got cancelled. I had to be back at the airport for like 3-4 o'clock the next day to fly to Doha after doing a 2-3 stop flight back from Los Angeles from Vegas.
Crazy.
So, like, the time difference was, like, 9 hours 9 hours behind to 5 hours ahead, to 4 hours ahead in the space of a day.
Wow.
Bro, listen.
That's bad.
Yeah, man. So, like, I don't know where the balance is. I feel like if you get yourself to a comfortable position where you're, like, stable, you got good residences and, you know what I mean? I've learned to just relax a little bit more as I've got older. But when I was, like my early 20s, I was just like go ham, and it didn't really affect me, to be fair. But I think as I've got older, you just gotta learn to have a bit of a balance. Obviously, I got a wifey in that, so it's you gotta have your family time, then your work time. But you know what it's like, bro, being self-employed. There's not really any dedicated specific hours. You just kind of do it as and when it needs to be done. Like 9 to 5s, like you say, 5 o'clock, go home, switch off. TV's on, unless they've got some kind of other side hustle that they're trying to build away from having the 9 to 5, then they get to just kind of chill.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know, man. I still work crazy hours now, but every now and again I'll just turn everything off and I'll just lock off, mate. Like, literally. But I think that's just come over years of doing this job, innit? You just kind of get there eventually.
I'm exactly the same, bro. Like, I used to work relentlessly, like, from literally when I open my eyes, I'd have my breakfast and that's it. The laptop's open and I'm working, or the camera's out and I'm working, or I'm doing something. And then that would be it. I'd stop to have my lunch. But even sometimes I would just eat lunch and work. I mean, on occasion, I'd forget to have lunch. I literally would just work through lunch, keep going and going and going. And then it would get to, like, the evening, early evening, when it was time for like me to have my dinner, and then I'd eat my dinner, and then after that I'd work, and then it'd be time to go to the club.
And the then obviously said he works. The working while you're eating is a legit thing, you know.
Yeah.
And then man, if you sat there with a laptop on when wife is serving tea, she'd be like, turn the laptop off, man. What are you doing?
Exactly. But then even like driving to the club, that's where I spend a lot of my time listening to new music. So now I've got, effectively, as you're processing the new music, that's work. So I'm driving to the club, basically working, and then I get to the club and you do a club set, and that's work. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, and obviously most times the drive home from the club, I wouldn't listen to music or anything. I'd listen to podcasts or like stand-up comedy and stuff like that, just to unwind a bit, get home, go to bed, 5 hours later, get up and repeat the cycle. Do you know what I mean? It was a bit mad.
Is it just me that hates listening to music in the car then? Because when I get in the car, bruv, I like silence, you know. unless I'm on the phone to somebody, I don't really check for music or the radio's on really quiet. That's like an escape for me, really, in the whip. I'm not gonna lie.
I like listening to it, but because majority of the time in my car I listen to new music, I don't get a lot of time to listen to music for enjoyment. Do you know what I mean? Like, just to listen to it for fun. So I've started to do that a lot more. I dug out my CD box and I've got a bunch of old CD albums now just sat in my car.
I said his CD box, times are passing, bro.
Yeah, innit?
Not even the vinyl box, man, the CD box, you know.
Yeah, I don't have a turntable in my car, otherwise I would draw for the vinyl. But I've got all my like a bunch of old CD albums that I just put in the car now, and when I feel like it I just put one on and just listen to it. At the moment I'm listening to Jaheim's Still Ghetto album, like banging tunes.
Yeah, they don't make them like that anymore, Jesus.
But yeah, it's like I don't know. It's a proper difficult one because obviously I feel like every year I get more successful. But like, for example, last year I actually worked less than the year before. But what I did was I worked less in terms of time. So,
okay.
For example, now I have a rule.
It's working smarter, isn't it? And not as hard. Like that, exactly. I definitely have to do that. Like, it's working smarter and not harder, man. Like,
yeah, precisely.
It just used to be all go ham. Like, when really you can strip some stuff back and still get your shit done as effectively without just pulling your own head off every single day of the week.
Yeah, it is working smarter, but it's working with a plan as well. Because it's like, yep, you said earlier, everyone's just uploading and doing loads of stuff and everyone's trying to push content out and it's a huge rat race. But what it feels like is everyone's just scrambling to get stuff out there with no real plan or strategy.
Scrambling, and it's like, bruv.
If you actually... I've talked about this again. I've talked about it before, but like my most successful mix was a mixtape that I put out every year. And 2 years ago, I actually put one out with a proper plan of marketing. I sat down and thought, right, how can I do this? How can I get maximum engagement? How can I drive the most people to listen to this mix? And so I came up with a plan and actually executed the plan, I'd say perfectly. And it's been my most streamed mix ever. Do you know what I mean? But what I also did was I didn't release much leading up to it. And it was about a month or so after I dropped it, I didn't release anything either. So I had just that one time where I'd put it out and all I was talking about was that. Do you know what I mean? So it wasn't like a week later. Like with my interviews, for example, I drop one every week. So once I've spoken about one for a week, the next one drops. I don't really talk about last week's one too much because the new one's out. Do you know what I mean? I'm trying to drive engagement for that. Whereas, so what I did with that mix was I left a month and did nothing around it. So I just had, that was my only content that I needed to push.
Core focus.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah, staying focused on it. And yeah, like, I think having a plan, I think that's something that a lot of DJs overlook is actually, okay, I'm going to do a mix, and they sometimes think about getting our artwork done. Sometimes they don't even bother, but they get the artwork done, and that's as much planning as they do. They'll plan the track list, the mix, and the artwork. They don't actually plan on, okay, well, if I do this on Facebook, I can get this many people to share it, and that will drive more thingy. If I do this on Instagram, I'll get more engagement that way. And if I do something on Twitter, da, 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 they don't come up with these different plans of how to market things. I think that's where majority of people are lacking. And in turn,
I think that's a prime example, bro, to be fair, of what you said about like man just getting, seeing everybody else working super hard, yeah? So they're just getting dragged into it and just putting stuff out with no thought process at all in it.
100%.
Just to churn this shit out quick, but in reality, like you say, having that plan and really thinking about what you're doing is going to work like wonders in the long run, innit?
Yeah, man, 100%. And that's the thing.
I've done it, bro. I can't even lie. I've got like whacked out mixes, just got an artwork done and put it out there. Where I've been roped into this fucking Mixcloud bloody rat race that everybody's on. I don't even know what's going on with that at the minute, but I still see people posting up 2-3 mixes. I'm seeing 2-3 a week and that sometimes.
Really?
I'm like, yeah, bro. Like, some people are putting them out, which is fair enough, innit? It's each to their own, but like you say, break it down a little bit and really think about what you're doing.
I think if you've got the audience there, then it's worth doing. If you've got an audience coming for daily mixes or, do you know what I mean, 2-3 a week, if you're getting the plays, then I think it's worth doing. But if you're not getting the place, like, look, just for example, I spent a whole year when I was doing a vlog every day, right? And so I did these.
You, bruv, I'll give you that. Jesus.
Bruv, that was so much work. And the thing is, there was only a couple of times where I had the video prepared in advance. Most days I was working only one day ahead of myself. So what I was editing today was getting uploaded tomorrow. Do you know what I mean? Like, and
yeah,
that's intense. Every single day I was doing a vlog, and I wasn't working smart and spending a whole day editing 6 vlogs. So that was like most of my week's work done. I was just doing it every single day. But I realized that the vlogs weren't the thing getting me all the traction on my channel. So I stopped them effectively. Like I've just do them when I feel like it now. just out for fun, basically. I don't do them to drive channel views or engagement or anything. And like, it's those kind of decisions I feel like a lot of people aren't making, is they're not looking at, okay, well, this isn't really getting any traction, so I'm just going to keep doing it the exact same way I'm doing it to see if it gets traction. Like,
you need to make that smart, calculated decision, man. Yeah, I hear that. I hear that.
Properly adapt. And like, also, the other thing is, you have to think from a non-DJ point of view, from a normal person who doesn't care about music as much as we do as DJs, they're going to get bored of you. If every single day or two or three times a week, you're constantly like, oh, here's a new mix, here's a new mix, here's a new mix, here's a new mix. It might take them a month, it might take them a year, it might take 2 years, but eventually they're going to be like, ah, it's all a bit the same now. Because there's only so, if you're putting out that much content, there's only so many different styles you can put behind a mix before people start getting bored. Do you know what I mean? And then once your audience starts turning off because they're bored, where are you? Do you know what I mean? Like, no,
it's like,
I
you
mean
just said,
bro.
No, I hear you, bro. I hear you. It's like you just said, then don't be afraid to make like them smart, calculated decisions if something's not kind of working out for you, innit? Like, sometimes you got to redirect.
That's like, it. I'm not talking about like giving up completely, but I am talking about like adjusting your plan. And if it's not working, if your mix is literally, if you're putting up a mix and it's only getting 100 plays, your next mix should be getting 101 plays or more. And if it's not, then you're not growing. And if you're not growing, you need to change.
Stagnant.
Isn't it? No, well, yeah, basically, yeah, stagnant. Like, and that's what I think most people are missing with all this just constant content, is they're not building a fan base correctly. They're not growing, like, their fan base to a point that it, like, I can't really articulate what I'm trying to say now, but do you know what I mean? Like, basically, the lazy way of saying it, they're not growing their fan base.
Bro, I pied it, man, because I built mine up to a point where it was consistent and it was there, and then Mixcloud started doing a madness, and I feel really bad, man, because like, I've got the whole following that's kind of sat there now, and people are asking me, oh, I do get people asking me like where the mixes are,
yeah,
but I just don't know whether to really go back and reinvest my time into
even after sitting down with the
Mixcloud guys and them explaining it, and I get it, like I get what's going on, but I'm still sat on the fence with it. I've not put out any mixes still, so, and like you say, I built the demand and the following, and it's there, but again, it's all sat under their platform. It's not as if you can just pull everyone off there. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've got this. Yeah, I think I've got 30. I think I've got like 38,000 followers on there.
Yeah. See, but that surprises me that after we sat down and did the Mixcloud episode with Nico, surprises me that you haven't just been like, okay. Because to be honest, if I wasn't focused on YouTube, I would be well focused on Mixcloud. Because after he explained it, I could see how you can actually make income from that. And again, like, just to go back to the points he made, I think what people need to focus on is getting like their first 10 paying subscribers on Mixcloud Select. And then once they've got 10, aim for 20. And once you've got 20, aim for 50. Like, do you know what I mean? And once you've got 50, then aim for 100.
Yeah, I hear that, Bo. But you know what it was? Like, it took me 3-4 years to build what I'd already got. So now it's like, do I really want to put another? It's going to be a lot harder to get man to pay for a service.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. But
that I've built, giving them all this good content for nothing. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, 100%. I know what it's going to take to really entice people, like creating content around these mixed releases to really get people to like want to buy into what's going on.
Yeah,
I have thought about it, and I've been writing up little bits of plans, and I've got some ideas, and I just know once I go into it, it's going to take up a lot of time in it, and I've just got so much other stuff going on. I'm just like, can I really invest all that time again?
Yeah.
Because it's not just going to be a case of, oh, come and pay for my Mixcloud. Like, I really need something swaggy that's going to entice people to want to pay for a service that has been there for free for all this time.
Yeah, 100%.
So it's 100%. Like, that's the only reason, but yeah, like the following's there. And I'm just kind of like, eh. What do I do, fam? Like, you know what I mean? It's a lot of people to throw away, man, and it's like I've so much time invested into it, but then I need to triple invest the time to make it really bang as a select channel where man are gonna pay.
Well, that's the difference though. If you're stepping your work rate up to the point where people are paying for it, then I think that benefits. The point I was making before is people are doing these 3 times a week, 4 times a week, 7 times a week mixes, and they're not getting paid. All you're getting is statistics. Like people are so hung up on numbers and statistics, and I am as well to a certain extent. But I realise that
stats are the currency, innit, man, in this game now.
Yeah, but the problem is it's all online currency, but it doesn't pay your mortgage. It doesn't pay for your car to be serviced because you're doing X amount of miles to all these DJ bookings and stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like it doesn't pay for the new laptop when you need a new laptop. Like it doesn't pay for anything. It's just online numbers. It's just clout. And as cool as clout looks, it's not money in the bank. But if you have a way of turning these mixes, i.e. via select, into money in the bank, then I think you're laughing. And by doing that, it does justify working that bit harder. Do you know what I mean? But I think just...
I'd love to know, how... there's a core of DJs on there that were popping before I kind of pulled away from it. I'd love to know, how it's been received for them. I need to ask... I might be best making some calls and chatting to a few guys and seeing how it's really getting received. I've not put out any mixes on Mixcloud Select at all, because I've got 3 subscribers. I had 7, but a couple of them bounced because I'm obviously not uploading.
I was gonna say they're paying you. every
that's
month.
That's so bad, isn't it?
You haven't uploaded for a year.
Oh, bro. I know. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry, guys. If you're one of them,
I apologize. You parred them. I think when it gets when you've got. One
but I've made some money though. I've made some money, bruv. I've made some money. I've made
for doing nothing as well. Result.
I've made £28.16.
It's good time. Free money. The problem is, I think obviously it's not a problem, but when you get one paying subscriber, that's when you have to provide the service, isn't it? As soon as you got one customer, you have to get into action. So I think if people are going to put their energy into that Mixcloud Select thing, you need to be prepared.
I was just going to say, I think it's the case of, if I was to do it, I wouldn't upload any of the mixes to the public domain.
Right.
Because then, otherwise, you're splitting it right down the middle then. You're either paying or you're getting it for free.
Yeah.
If I'm putting them out for free, why are they going to pay?
Well, you could always if it was a 60-minute mix, you could always put the first 20 minutes up as a separate mix, as a teaser.
And then if you want the full one. Yeah,
the first 15 minutes as a separate mix that's available to everyone. And then the full hour as another mix that if you want the whole thing.
I feel like it needs to be a weekly thing, really. If you want people to be paying a subscription fee every month, one mix a month is not going to cut it, in my opinion.
You've got to give
them the money's worth, innit?
Yeah. 100%.
Anyway, that's another conversation to be had. That's another conversation. Jesus. But
in terms of going back to the work/life balance, I think it is a proper difficult one because just for example, I do a lot of work still. I'm not working 20-hour days like I was, but I do still do a lot of work and I do spend and fill a lot of my spare time with doing work. But the difference is I enjoy it. Do you know what I mean? Video editing. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy video editing. So for me, even though it is work, it's not work because I'm enjoying it, if that makes sense. I'd probably do it, some sort of video editing for a hobby if I wasn't working entertainment. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But it's tricky, man. I think that's the point that we see so many DJs give up on the industry and just one day they just put their Facebook status up, hanging up their headphones, you know what I mean? Because they work so relentlessly for, say, 5 to 10 years where they're working every day trying to make it happen and then it doesn't happen. And they're like, they just get disheartened one day and they're like, I've had enough. I'm not doing this anymore. Do you know what I mean? So
I think it depends what you want out of it as well. Like, if you're doing it to, I don't know, like, make it, or you're doing it to, like, because you enjoy music and you like DJing, like, that's the difference, isn't it? Like, some people do the residencies, they love music, they love spinning out. Other people are chasing the big dream of being a headline and whatever else, do you know what I mean? Like, there's a different, I don't know, man. Like, I feel like I've seen a few people post that they've given up on it recently. Yeah. Especially, like, I've seen a few men on Facebook hang up the headphones and, like you say, they invest 10 years into it, don't really get to where they want to be, but it depends where you want to get to, innit?
Like, yeah, 100%.
I know DJs that are happy just doing the residencies and love just spinning locally and they're making the money that way, but then some people are chasing the bigger dream of headlining and being an, like, an international DJ and travelling and everything else. So it depends what you really want to get out of it, innit? Like yeah. You say, like, we do other stuff, bro, like you say, the video edits and, like, the mixes and the visual stuff and everything else. So it's not just a DJ flex, like so all the time gets taken up. But yeah. Works smarter, my G.
Yeah, I think in terms of, like, the DJ thing, like, for me, I think I'm a good split down the middle of, I do it because I love the music. So, like, anybody that knows me, they know I will not take a job if it means playing music that I don't like. Very simple. Like, put 10 grand on the table. If it's music I don't like, I'm not doing it because... do you know what I mean, bro?
10
like,
grand on the table. Chatting shit, you.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I'll take a 10 grand booking.
If I said to you right now, yeah, come and play fucking, I don't know, like a rock gig, I'll give you 10 bags.
How long's the set?
An hour.
Oh, yeah, I'll do that for an hour, bro. I just have, bro,
you wouldn't do a 5-hour set of music you didn't like for 10 bags.
All right, you know what? Let's not pick at the details. But my point is, that
if man offered me 10 bags tomorrow, yeah, to play, I don't even know, drum and bass, yeah. I hate drum and bass.
Bro, drum and bass is fucking heavy.
Do, fam.
Nah, come on. Anyway,
I am the drum and bass father.
Let's not stray away from my original point.
Come on. Yeah. Sorry, right, man. I had to pull you up on that. Man said he won't do it for 10 bags, you know.
All right. Guess, if
man.
You were to offer me my current rate, right? Okay. to go and do music I didn't pound. Like, £5 an hour, to go and do music that I didn't like, I would not do it. I
can't even laugh.
Because
fair, no, that's fair, that's
you
fair,
properly
that's fair.
Put me
you,
off.
Bro.
You've
I'm
put me
guessing.
Off the point I was getting to. Now,
I'm gassing, bro. Wow, you started this podcast by burying my life, mate.
I've lost it. I forgot where I was getting to with that whole point.
You said you wouldn't take a set for music you don't like for any price.
Yeah, there's a reason I said it, and I can't remember what the reason was now. Yeah. Thanks for listening. #  Talkover podcast.
Sorry, mate. Completely threw him off there. I did that on purpose.
Yeah, he did.
That's one.
Yeah. All right. If anyone wants to pay me 10 grand to play rock music, I'll do it. That's the new point.
I'll do it tomorrow, G.
My point was, no, I don't know. I don't even know what my point was. I can't get back to it. Fuck knows. It's gone.
Oh, God.
Clearly wasn't that important anyway. But yeah.
I had a good set this week, by the way, bro. I feel like I should drop it in the pod clart.
We should have started with the story, actually. Go on, tell me now.
Yeah, it's all good. So I went to do a UK takeover event in the Middle East, in Qatar.
Sick.
It was. Right, so I've been out there before. It's dope. Like, the place is dope, for one. It's like Dubai on steroids, mate.
Really?
Bro, everything is just brand spanking new. Like, you get there, and it's like the road was laid yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah, bruv. So I've gone out there. Shout out to my boy Toyan. He's an old UK friend of mine. He moved out there like 5-6 years ago. And then over the years, he's a DJ first and foremost.
Yeah.
After like over the years of like integrating himself into the scene out there, he's managed to like build his own event and stuff to the point where he can afford to bring like some of his homies out.
Yeah,
but he's like they're like the first promoters to like do this whole UK thing and bring UK DJs over and play like a UK sound, because there is a lot of UK people working out there.
Right, okay.
So like he's managed to engage this crowd of people. Bro, it's mad. You go out to Doha, I've gone to this club night and it's full of like Londoners and people from Manny and shit like that. I was like, yo, bro, I'm out there dropping like, bro, P money where and when. Got to pull up.
That's so sick.
in Qatar, bro. I couldn't believe it. I'm playing like Kano P's and Q's and stuff like that in this event. I just thought, yo, man could come this far. I felt like a completed DJing, bro, when I went to bed that night. I was like, man can come this far and play these records in a country that is relatively new.
Yeah.
Like, I just thought it was absolutely gas, mate. UK takeover in fucking Middle East, you know. Obviously, I know Dubai has their little thing going on. People play, like, UK stuff out there. But in Qatar, it's unheard of.
Yeah.
And these guys are, like, the first to really do it. So, yeah, shout out to him, man. He's definitely got something going on over there, mate. That was... That's the reason why I'm ill today.
So, yeah. Still hanging.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, bro. So hopefully they rebook me, man, and I can go back. But yeah, that was one of my favourite bookings in a minute, man.
Good shit.
You don't really. You know when you go abroad to these international sets, sometimes you're a bit wary of what you can push out there, and you try and play like more international friendly records and incorporate some different. Like, I don't know, man. Like, when I play abroad in them places, or when I've played in Dubai before, I won't go as left field or as ham as I would in the UK, if you know what I'm saying. I'd still play my set, I'd still flex, but only to a certain like level. This one, complete opposite, bro. Kano, Skepta, P Money, all of that, it was getting legged out, bruv. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, that's sick.
I couldn't believe it, as Chucky would say. That's what Chucky says, isn't it? I couldn't believe it, bruv. couldn't believe it. It was gas, mate. Anyway. Yeah, man. Good trip, man. Good stuff. The summer season's approaching.
Yeah.
International DJ season is approaching.
International DJ season. Should we discuss international DJ season? It's funny because...
Yeah, let's do it.
I've seen it in the past, and like, it was rife with this when I first started going abroad, like 2008, 2009. And what I used to notice was like, bro, there was a massive problem in Ayanapa 2009 because there was a 2 week period. I went out there for the whole season, yeah. So I'm there from the start to the end. But there was a 2 week period where literally everybody from London came out to Ayanapa. Not just London, but I mean like a lot of the London DJs and stuff. And so many people from the scene came out to Ayanapa for that 2 week holiday period. But what was happening was, they were booking their own flights, paying for their own hotel, so they're basically just on holiday, and then they're coming out and playing in the clubs for free.
I know where this is going.
just to get content for social media so that they can put in their bio, international DJ. It's fucked. Like, it's actually proper mental that this is really...
It doesn't count if you pay for your own flights, your own accommodation, and you fly out there and do that. It doesn't count.
I feel like people don't know the rules. So, like, just for example, yeah, I think it was the first time I ever played abroad, I was actually on holiday. Like, there was... Which came first? I'm just trying to think. Thailand was one of them, and Greece was the other. Now, I can't remember which one came first, so I'll just speak about Greece. Basically...
I remember you telling me about Greece.
Yeah, so I was on holiday and I had my laptop with me, and I was drunk one day walking down the bar street of the resort, and I just said to this bar owner who was English, I was just like, I said this because I was drunk. I was like, if you give me a set here tomorrow, I'll prove to you that I'm the best DJ you've ever heard. And he was like, yeah, all right then. And obviously I wasn't asking for money. He was going to save money because his DJ was getting the night off. And yeah, I got to do the set. It just so happened that the owner of the biggest club on the island heard me playing at the bar, and he came up to me and was like, tomorrow night, can you come and play at the club? So when I did the bar, obviously I approached the bar guy and I was like, I was drunk, that's why I was so arrogant about it. But I was like, let me play. So obviously I'm not going to charge him for it at this point, because I've just been young and drunk and just thought, let me just try a thing. But when the club have come to me now and said, yeah, can you come and play? I was like, yeah, I can. But you have to pay me. Like, you have to pay me for it. And I think at the time, it wasn't much. I did an hour and I got like 100 euros or something from them. Well, I'm not sure how much. I can't remember. It wasn't
That's all right back then.
Yeah, for just a randomly blagged set. Yeah, it was cool. 100 euros.
I was going to say.
But, yeah, I mean, the point is, I didn't come back from that holiday and then suddenly start telling everyone I'm an international DJ. Do you know what I mean? Because I put myself on holiday. But I think one thing about international bookings that a lot of DJs don't realise is if you do an international booking, the way I see it, there's two ways it can work. The first most common way is the promoter pays for your flights, your accommodation, mm-hmm. and if it's an overnight stay, the food and stuff that you have while you're there, basically. So the hospitality once you're there. The way I look at it is as soon as the plane wheels land in that country, everything is the promoter's responsibility. Right?
Okay.
And as soon as you land back in the UK, that's so you pay for your car parking, or this is how I do things. I pay for my own car parking at the airport, but as soon as I'm on the plane, promoter's paying for other stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like, pays for the flights, pays for the accommodation. If we're going for food, they're paying for that as well. And of course, there's a fee for doing the actual set.
Double's militant, you know. A guy wants his oxygen paid for while he's in the country.
No. I'm just saying they're
the four. I hear you, bro. I'm pretty much the same, to be fair. But like regarding food and that, I'm not too. It depends, man. If I link the promoter and we go and eat, that's cool. But other than that, I'm a bit weird. I'm a lone soldier, man. I'll just go and eat and get about on my ones.
Oh, yeah. I don't mean like if I'm like,
As long as my flight and my fees are covered and my accommodation, I'm happy with that, innit?
Yeah, but I'm not like rolling out receipts and stuff. I'm not going to the shop and then coming back with a receipt.
Double's turning up before the gig with a bag of receipts.
No, not at all. No, I don't mean like if I bop down, if it's a hot country and I go and get myself a bottle of water, I'm not taking that receipt to the promoter. But what I mean is, if it's an overnight one, if you're just doing 24 hours in the country, if you go for a meal with the promoter before the club, nine times out of 10, they're paying. And they always do anyway. Do you know what I mean? But I'm breaking it down, the expectations for anyone listening that hasn't yet done this, that is thinking, if they're getting an offer through and someone say, look, I'll give you 50 quid, you sort your flights and hotel and food when you're here, and I'll give you 50 quid for the hour, and then you fly yourself home. Like, I'm just letting them know what's available. Do you know what I mean? Like, the way it should be done.
Yeah, I hear that.
So the other way to do it is what's called a landed price. So where the promoter basically will say, give me a landed price, and so you pay for your hotel and flights, but you add that into the price that you quote the promoter. Yep. So you give you're giving them, so let's just say I want $2,000, for example, and that's the landed price, and that would cover
that's got your hotels and all your
the
stuff
hotel,
included within
the flight, the fee. That's just a number on flight, just throwing out there, obviously, but like
double charges two bags, guys.
That's my landed price.
That's the landed fee. To be fair, when I've booked artists over the years, like they sometimes hit you with a landed fee. Not as much, but like sometimes when I've booked artists over the years for like events, like sometimes they'll hit you with a landed fee. Like it's not as much, but I've definitely come across that.
Yeah. So like they're the most common ways to do it, basically, is so you charge your fee and then they book your flights and hotel. And the benefits of doing the landed price is you get to choose your own flights and your own hotel. Yep. Obviously.
Exactly that.
So that's a benefit there. With that said, obviously then whatever price the flights are, that's coming out of your profit, if that makes sense. If you get cheaper flights, then the profit you make on the landed fee is going to be bigger. Same with a hotel. The benefit of doing it the more conventional way is the promoter will know the good hotels, will often have a good relationship with the hotels, and they will more often than not be hotels that are quite close to the venue. So, obviously that's done off of local knowledge. Do you know what I mean? So if you let them book it, they usually book you into a decent spot. Whereas,
I prefer picking my own flights, me, bro. I've got to pick my own flights, man.
Like, I never mind. As long as I pick the day and the airport, like, I don't mind.
I'm a bit weird with travel times, innit? Like, I like to move at certain times.
Fucking weirdo.
and I hate stopover flights.
Toyan
listens to this podcast and he's my brethren, so I can say it. I left my man to book my flights, yeah, and I had to go and stop in. What was the name of the place that I just stopped in? It's over the other side of Dubai. Oh, what was the name? Muscat.
I don't know.
Yeah. So I had to go and stop. But that's like an hour away from Qatar.
Yeah.
But I had to go and stop there and wait for like 2 hours. So I was just like, this is long.
Bruv, do you realize how bad that sounds? You're complaining about all the flights you had to get on to.
I am complaining. But to be fair, he's my brethren, isn't it? So he knows when I got there, he was laughing as all, man.
Yeah. I tell you what. It's all good.
I'm not complaining, bro. I'll take a minute, but I'm just saying preference-wise. I want to fly direct, bro. No stushness intended.
Oh, no, especially when you're doing, like, 24-hour trips.
Especially when I just flew from LA, bro. Jesus Christ, I was dying.
Yeah, if you're doing short trips, then obviously you don't want to have to stop and do all of that, layovers and stuff. It's a nightmare. I'll tell you one time, this was not a benefit to letting them pick the hotel. They picked the cheapest, worst hotel I've ever stayed in my life. And
oh, peak.
There was no other options. And the other thing is, I knew them quite well as well, innit? So previously they'd been absolutely fine. And it was just this one trip. I think the season hadn't been going so well for them. And basically, like, once I was there, he was just like, you know what? This is the hotel, mate. This is the only option. And bruv, shit you not, I went fucking ballistic, right?
Where was this?
This was in Greece.
Yeah, right. The hotel, some dodgy backstreet Greek hotel is all I can imagine.
Mate, no, listen.
Listen, mate.
Problem A, this is in no particular order. There weren't any bed sheets, so I had to wait for them to bring bed sheets for ages. And I was tired and I wanted to go to sleep. So while I waited, I had to nap on this dusty, dead-out mattress, right?
Dusty.
There was no lock on the door.
Yeah, that's a problem.
The bedroom door had no lock. Now, I only had the one bag with me because I was in the country for like 10 hours or something. So it wasn't like I was all suitcased up. So I had my one bag, which went everywhere with me anyway. And I was literally stopping there, sleeping, going to eat, straight to the club, then straight to the airport, right? I had a bit of a sleep after the club, I think. But anyway, when I was in the room, I had to push the bed up against the door to go to sleep to make sure no one came in the room in the night time.
Oh, my days.
So that's not
rushed in the night.
That's not the worst thing. The worst thing was there was only one light bulb in the entire hotel room and there was no one at reception or anything. So there was like no one I could speak to get a spare light bulb. So
where the hell was you staying, bro? This sounds...
Oh, mate, ropey as fuck.
Wish you were here.
I wish I wasn't there. But so when I had to go from the lounge, I had to turn the light off a few minutes before I wanted to go because the bulb would be too hot and take the bulb with me into the bathroom so that I could have a shower and then plug the bulb in. Mate, it was a fucking nightmare. Absolute nightmare.
To be fair, I've never been shafted with hotels like that too. I'm trying to think if I've had any super dodgy ones over the years. But I think
That's the only time I've had a bad one.
Yeah.
Everywhere else has been sick.
So where do we draw the line then with this international DJ stuff then? Like, because I know some man that will, like, I don't know, they'll cover their own flights and get out there, but then when they're out there, they're making peace from the sets. But maybe they're not covering their transport to get there, do you know what I mean? Like, I know some people that will fly out for the summer, pay to get there, but then all summer they're making peace, do you know what I mean?
See, this is the thing.
Does that count?
Well, I mean, yeah, because actually I think I did one season, actually, where I paid for my own flights, but then I made a stack through the summer. Do you know what I mean? Like, I did very well through the summer and then flew myself back. And I, if I remember rightly, I was paying for my accommodation. Yeah, I think I was paying for my own accommodation that summer as well. So, but I was making peas from the club. Do you know what I mean? So it was all... I think it's just down to how you do your business, isn't it? But I'm talking in terms of, like, I've heard a story before about one DJ in particular who basically said that he would cover his own travel, and he was shocked when the promoter said that they would cover the hotel for him. He was like, what? Really? You do that? Like, I thought I'd just like sleep on someone's couch or something, or like, do you know what I mean? Like, that was his reaction. I've spoken to the promoter about it and they were like, yeah, I couldn't believe it.
So that could just be a classic case of someone that doesn't really know any better, or maybe hasn't been told how to go about
exactly
sorting out an international booking the way you just broke it down then. Like,
yeah, but that's the reason I wanted to break it down. That's the reason I wanted to break it down, is because there are people out there now, especially this time of year, and especially in the climate that we're in, where we've got 50 billion DJs in the UK, promoters are reaching out to people and they are putting in offers. And if the DJs don't know, like, you could just, for example, you can charge a lot more for overseas bookings if you want, because if they're coming to you, it means you're in demand. Do you know what I mean? And like, don't feel away. It's not just a drive down the road for half an hour, do an hour's set, and then drive back. If you're doing an international booking, that is, at the very least, an entire day of your life dedicated to that booking.
Bro, it's two days, bro. It can be a two-day thing. Like, that Qatar one I just done, like, it's a whole day getting there, 8-9 hours, flying, but with a stopover.
Yeah.
And then on the way back, then it's the night of the gig, like... Like you say, you got to cover the time that it takes for you to be out of the game. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's 2 days traveling involved and you're set.
Exactly. So it's a lot of your own time is put into it. Not to mention, I always factor this in. I'm paying for airport parking and that's usually about £40 to £50 a day. So do you know what I mean?
Airport parking's the worst.
Yeah. So that's the first expense, is the airport parking. And then, do you know what I mean? There's other stuff as well that you just have to consider. If it's at a weekend, then you might have to turn down a booking in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you've got a residency, you have to put that to the side to go and do the overseas. I think it's just a lot of stuff. There's a lot of things that people really don't consider or don't even know about when it comes to taking international bookings.
I heard up. Well.
Summer's approaching, man.
Yep. I've not got that much locked in yet, but I'm sure it'll start. I'm sure it'll start picking up. I'm not too bothered about traveling this year, bro. Like, if there's some decent stuff lands, I'll take it. But
I was that exact same way last year. You know, I could not be bothered last year, if I was honest. So I just didn't. Honestly, I didn't even throw my rod into the water, bro. Like, I could not be bothered to do overseas stuff last year. I had a lot of UK stuff going on. We were doing a lot of events and that, and I was just like, as bad as it sounds, I could not be asked to do all the airport.
I was just about to say, like, it sounds proper negative, like we're putting it down, but like some like, I don't know, man. I've had a good run in summers over the last like 5-6 years. I've had very good ones actually, and not just even in the summer. Like, I've managed to get abroad in the winter and like getting out to the Middle East and stuff, and like just being out to the Middle East then, and it's up in February. So, but I don't know, this year I just feel like I've got other focus. Don't get me wrong, I've got two bits locked in the beefer, to be fair. But I'm not fully pressing the issue. Like, if a couple of things land, then, do you know what I mean? I'll weigh it up and see if it's worth it. But
yeah
I'm not fully fussed this year, man, which sounds really bad.
No, I know. I was there last year, bruv. I was in exactly the same mind state last year. I was like, I can't be arsed this summer. I'm going to just stick to England, like, doing the bits here. But this summer, like, yeah, I've got a few conversations going on, which will be locked in probably by the end of the month. And so,
you've got international DJ in your bio, Maggi.
I can put hashtag international DJ, and I'm not even paying for my own flights or anything.
I don't even have it in my bio.
I don't bother, bruv. Like, if you follow me, if you know what I do, you know what I do, innit? Like,
mine just says open format DJ.
I think that it got very much like the one extra guest bookings, the whole international DJ thing. Everyone suddenly became an international DJ because they were all booking their own flight. Everyone was going on holiday and taking their laptop with them. In Iron Upper 2009. Do you know what I mean? So like, I'm being serious, bro. Everybody there,
No one was getting paid.
Everyone was on holiday and just DJing for free. And there's nothing wrong with that if that's what you want to do, if you can land in bookings. But when you come back and flex like you've made £1 billion doing that kind of thing, that's when it becomes a problem. Like, I don't know. Actually, I'll say there's nothing wrong with doing it. It really bugged me at the time. Really, really. No, it did, bro. It fucked me right off, like, because I was out there for the season. So I put in the graft networking and doing all this stuff and making sure I wasn't out there doing it for free. I'd established, like, connections and I'd got residencies and stuff and making sure that I was getting paid for doing the work that I was doing. And then suddenly for the busiest 2 weeks of the year, a bag of people turn up and say they're going to try and do what you do, but they're going to do it for free.
Yeah,
bruv, that, yeah, that pissed me off.
Yeah, but that's stressy, bruv.
We move. I nearly got into a fight with two very well known DJs. That's a story for another day.
Yeah, yeah, don't, yeah. Let's not go there.
Me punching people up in the scene. Yeah, I will tell both of those stories one day.
Double using his boxing skills to effect.
Yeah, bro, I nearly fucked up. Yeah, I nearly smashed some people up. That was then. This is now. But yeah, no, I definitely will tell those stories one day because
he's matured.
No, you know what I'll do? I'll actually, because it was two individual situations. If I ever get to sit down with either of the DJs, I'll bring it up with them. Because I think that's probably the best way to do it. For me to sit here and tell the story about how I nearly got into a fight with such and such, if they're not here with me, that's like a declaration of war.
Yeah, they need to be able to back themselves up in it, bruv. You can't do that.
And interestingly enough, I'd quite like to know their side of the story. Because one of them was unrelated to DJ and we just clashed heads there. But the other one, was actually to do with a DJ set. So I'd quite like to know his side of the story. That's a good idea. I might reach out to him and see if he wants to come on. And then ask him about it.
Yo, fam, check this, right?
Fun games. Go on.
Yo, so whilst I was away, my phone starts blowing up.
Yeah.
My phone starts blowing up, all these notifications start coming through. I'm like, yo, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Flipping heck. I go on my bloody, I open the TalkOver PodClart account and flipping Doubles started a war.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about that tweet.
because I just got another notification then and it's still going on.
No, mate, it's going ham.
I think it Double wasn't speaking to me at the time. He was in a mood. Yeah, bless him.
Doubles
having a good suck. Yeah, Double sent a tweet viral on our Twitter account this week.
Viral,
Yeah, well, I won't say viral, but Jesus Christ, mate. I think we've only got like 100 followers.
Yeah, it's just a small account.
It's just a small account. I wanted to read a couple of these tweets out, mate, because I feel like half of the DJ industry got involved on this. Literally, bro, DJs from all over the globe replied to this tweet. Like, yeah, from top to the bottom of the States, people in the UK, like DJs out in Europe, DJs out in Dubai. I think you said before we'd already kind of touched on this in our podcast anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, double tweeted anyway. It was a question. I don't know how this went viral. It's so random. So random, bro.
Read question the tweet for those that didn't see it.
Question for the DJs. You're booked for a guest set, main set time, but the DJ before you starts burning the big records and playing your remixes and productions. What would you do? # talkover podclart. So yeah, I didn't even think that was that controversial, to be fair. I just thought that was just a standard like question. Next thing I know, I'm in Vegas at the time thinking, what's going on here? I'm thinking, this ain't my account. Opened it up and there, Doubles doing his usual, because it's mainly Double that tweets on the account, I'm not going to lie. Doubles the guy.
Yeah.
So yeah, we've got 400 replies, I think we got.
400 replies?
Yeah. Good shit. Yeah, 420 replies, so... Should we read a couple out, because a lot of them listen to the podcast anyway. What would you do? First and foremost, before I read them out, what would you do, fam? What's your way around it? My mine's pretty simple. Like I just adapt in it. Like and just I just do my thing regardless. Like I'm not too. We had this conversation. This happened to me the other week, bro. The DJ tried to burn me before my set, and I just absolutely langed it. Without using any of the records that he played, like deep crates in it.
There's these two things, right? I've got in my head,
You got to let these guys know too, man. Someone sent one of the best replies. I'll find it.
So, okay, while you're finding it, I'll say my thing. In my head, I'm like, if/when it happens to me, my mentality is basically kind of in a polite way, just say to the DJ, like, don't burn out the records too early. Like, the night has to live. Like, this, mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, don't rinse out the big, big tunes, or like slow down a little bit. But at the same time, I'm very wary of the fact that I don't want to come across like, firstly, like a bit of an arrogant fucker who's like, oh, bro, you're playing my set. Because that's happened to me. I've spoke about it before on the podcast when Westwood tried it with me. And it pissed me right off. Bro, it fucked me off so badly. And the worst thing is, the song he told me not to play next, he didn't even put in his set, which just bugged me even more.
For the cheek.
So, like, it happened to me. So, and but there's me thinking, like, bro, like, you're a big man DJ and you're playing 1 hour. Like, how much, like, I couldn't burn everything in this time if I wanted to. Do you know what I mean? So, like, I always have that in the back of my head that if I ever speak to, like, a younger DJ or a opening DJ, I never, ever want to come across the way that he came across to me when he did it. And it actually happened to me. Last time it happened was in the summertime. And in my head, I kind of at the time thought, you know what, should I say something? And I was a little bit riled about it. Like, it pissed me off a bit because there was a couple of tunes that I really wanted to play. It wasn't about, I'll tell you what it was. It wasn't about them burning the set and me not having anything to play. It was about certain songs that I wanted to play. Do you know what I mean? Because I wanted to play them in a particular way, or I thought I could have dropped them better. It wasn't really anything to do with the timing or them rinsing out everything. It was just that I wanted to play those records. Does that make sense?
But they
weren't early hours records either. It just so happened. But so in that situation, I actually didn't say anything to the DJ because I thought, you know what, it's done now. Like, they had about 10 minutes left and I thought, let them just do what they want to do. And then when I step on, I'll show them what the big boy plays like. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was a proper inside my head. I didn't say it out loud, but inside my head, I was like, right, now I'm going to show why I've been booked for this set. Like, I'm going to show how to DJ. Let's do this. Do you know what I mean? So, and in that instance, what I did was I stepped up. As soon as I was plugged in and ready to go, I turned off the music, bigged him up, whatever, spoke to the crowd.
The classic reset button.
So plenty of people said it in the replies, bruv. I just hit reset. And then what I did was I started again. So I started with a real low tempo song. Like, proper, I think it was like a one drop reggae song. Do you know what I mean? Like Chronic Smile Jamaica or something like that.
This was during the
summertime. So like it was.
I think the reset thing is a classic. It's classic, bro. Like, that's a classic one. If the DJ's bugging out before you and you're the main set, like, that's the best way to do it. And then you've got your own slot to deal with then from scratch. Do you know what I mean? Instead of how else are you gonna do it? Like, carry on from the energy previous. Like, I don't know, man. The reset thing, I think that's serious, but. DJ Messiah tweeted, bro, and he got it spot on, to be fair. And, like, I've been guilty of this where maybe I should have said something. But, like, so you know what it's like? Sometimes in a club or whatever, the situation, or you don't really know the DJ, and sometimes it ain't the right time to really pull a man aside and say these things. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it isn't. Like, but, like, Messiah nailed it. So big up to DJ Messiah on Twitter. He's from New York. He put, I did this in my early years of opening, and the headlining DJ pulled me to the side and told me what I was doing wrong. A lot of DJs are doing this shit out of ignorance and lack of music knowledge. Instead of tweeting subliminally and complaining, why not just tell them? And then from that point forward, I didn't do it again. I think a lot of dudes are honestly too scared to say anything, and that's wrong.
Yeah.
So, like, I feel like that's dope, like 100%. And there's probably been one or two times where I could have really said something, and then a couple of times where it just didn't feel right, you get me, but
I feel like Messiah definitely said,
a lot of these new kids they won't really know yet. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. That's the thing, is like, it does come down to like a lack of knowledge there as well, like lack of education about the structure. But I think one of the best things he said in that is about not jumping on Twitter or Facebook or whatever and cussing them. Like, mm-hmm. that's, and bruv, do you know how many times I see that on Facebook? Oh, warm-up DJs. Blah, blah, blah. I'm just like, did you say it to them? Did you say this to the warm-up DJ, or are you just having a bitch on Facebook now? Like,
DJ Suck tweeted it. Sucks. It was like, I'll complain, not say anything, and then go bitch about it on social media.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's legit.
That's the worst thing to do, in my opinion. But I think, yeah, if it's very clearly like a young DJ who's kind of just there, one mentality we have to look at as well is they might not be doing it from a malicious point of view. They might be doing it as in, oh shit, DJ Stylus is on after me. Like, I see he plays everywhere. Like,
I hear that.
I want to show him how good I am. And a lot of the DJs in the younger generation, they don't quite realize that you can show how good you are without playing the big records. In fact,
if you do a warm-up set
and draw for some tunes I haven't heard for ages and flip the crowd. That. Like, if you're smacking it and turning the crowd upside down before I come on and you haven't played the big tunes, bruv, that's when I'm paying attention. Do you know what I mean? That's when I'm like, bro, yo, you are sick. Like,
or even if you pull out them obscure records that man ain't heard for time, or like a different freaky remix of something, then I'm like, then my ears are pricking up and I'm thinking, yeah, okay. Like, exactly. this dude's flexing differently. Like, anyone can play the bangers, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
but obviously,
there's a way to play them. Everyone drops them in a different way. Like, I'll drop songs different to the way you drop them, or next man. But I just feel like it. Don't trying to show off to the DJ that's headlining. That is not the way forward to do it, boys. It's not.
No, but it is. Again, it could be the mentality, and I feel like it's probably the most common mentality. Rather than, I'm going to burn all the big records so that it fucks their setup, I think it is more like, oh shit, such and such is here. Let me play the big tunes and then they can see how good I am. Do you know what I mean? And then it might lead to more opportunities for me. Da, 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 da. I wonder if...
And it's the knowledge as well, bro. It's like you say, they might not have the depth of musical knowledge to be able to do it a different way. Like,
yeah,
and are still
exactly. Learning
the ropes, you get me? Like... So it's like he said, once he got told and got put on, it never happened. And like, Mikey Fresh was in the replies and he put, most DJs don't even realise that this is a thing until someone puts you on game.
Yeah, this is true.
You get me? So
this is true.
You got to kind of bridge the gap and help these youths sometimes.
Yeah, like, I think
even though I cussed the kid on here the other week for the exact same thing, I did. But like, at the time, he was fully just trying to stunt on man, and you could tell. So I just thought, I don't need to say nothing here. I'm just going to do my thing.
Yeah.
You get me? But like you say, if it's a new kid on the block and I see, I don't know, man. It's each situation for a different one, innit? But big up DJ Messiah, because I thought that was the best reply.
It was definitely a sick reply.
There's loads, fam. Baxter, DJ Baxter, the person who was warming up for the guest should have had a brief. Don't play certain songs XYZ, blah blah blah, which can happen sometimes. I've had situations where I've been told to not play certain stuff. DJ C, think on the spot and try to figure out a new avenue to go down. Regardless, I'll be shelling the set. Kind of the approach I have. Like, I'll just, if there's songs in there that they play that I've got in my set, I'll just remove them out.
Yeah,
simple as.
Do the opposite as well. Someone said about, basically, if they're flexing and dropping all the big new stuff, do the complete opposite and start old school. And you know what I've noticed, brother, the last couple of weeks I've started bringing a load of old school hip hop back, stuff like Rough Riders Anthem and things like that. Do you know what I mean? Like, I haven't played
classics, man. The classics but never die,
bruv. No, but they're really working again now. Like, I felt like there was a stage where they were just getting played out everywhere, so I stopped playing them. And
yeah, they got forgotten about for a couple of years, innit?
Yeah, now I'm squeezing them back into the set. It is like, those kind of tunes are really the old school hip hop for this generation, because you've got to think their parents and stuff would probably have been listening to that kind of stuff, like early to late 90s hip hop. Their parents would have been listening to. Do you know what I mean?
True story.
It's that nostalgic music, but I've noticed that those kind of tunes are really, really making an impact in the club sets at the moment. So
man said Rough Riders anthem, you know.
That was just the first one that came to my head that I haven't played for ages.
Luda, move, bitch.
Yeah, I haven't played that one, actually. I didn't play that one. But Rough Riders anthem, I haven't played it for probably a few years, bruv. And then literally like 2 weeks ago, I just started recycling it back into the set. And it's been working wonders, mate. Absolute wonders.
Yo, DJ Link put, switch it up. That's why you're getting booked as a guest and getting the big bucks. If at this stage, as a guest, you can't be versatile, then why was you booked in the first place?
Tell him.
Tell him, cuz.
Happy birthday, Link. Yeah, it was his birthday the other day. Happy birthday.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, man.
There you go, signal. DJ Mikey, oh. He would have said, he said the same thing as the other dudes, to be fair. I would have a word with him while he's performing and school him briefly about warm-up DJ etiquette. I think it's something that's needed to be nipped in the bud ASAP. If the energy is too high before 12 a.m, it can kill the whole night off.
Maybe. I don't think it's necessarily maybe not kill it off. Energy, it depends.
If you're rinsing all the high energy rhythms off before midnight, that can dead the thing. But
yeah, if you're rinsing the songs, but again, like I said, just for example, I did my residency on Saturday. During the warm up, I did a 90s hip hop set, and it went absolute off. Like it went sick, bro. It was so like the reception was so good, and the energy in the room was so sick.
You can have the energy up but without playing
I didn't
the main
play
bangers.
Any of the big tunes. I played basically half an hour of songs that I haven't played for a couple of years, and the place went off. Do you know what I mean? Cold. Like, the energy was up, but I didn't ruin the night. If anything, it enhanced it, made it better, because then when the big, big songs came...
Exactly. But they're the best ones, because then the night's electric. The nights are the better. Well, that's what jam used to be like, man. The warm-ups were fire, and then but the energy would be so high by like 1 o'clock, but you've not touched nothing yet. So you know when it gets to that point, blood, it's going off.
Mad.
Fusion.
Do one more.
I don't know if I should read this one.
Yeah, do it anyway.
Fusion just put, stab him. What is wrong with that guy, man? Oh, my days.
Amazing.
What is it? I'm just looking for him, trying to find a good one.
There's a whole spectrum of replies.
Oh, bro, there's so many.
To stab him.
Yeah, Silk, but come on Twitter and moan, but don't say nothing to the DJ.
that's the worst thing to do. I would put that, in terms of responses, I would put that one underneath stab him, if I'm honest.
Oh, my God, man. DJ Pop Dog, who's one of your homies.
Yeah, Pop Dog. Big DJ in Boston, you know. Big DJ in Boston.
Bro, you put me on. I had no idea. But he put, give him some love and now do what I need to do. So much music out there. With the right delivery, you shouldn't even have an issue playing. Making a club rock without the big records is where the real talent comes in anyway. In my opinion.
Yeah.
True stories.
Big facts.
I said it to you, innit? Like, I'll try and see how long I can go in the night without touching the big records and keeping the energy up. And then before I know it, it gets like 1:30, 2:00, and I'm like, I'm going to offload right now.
It's 2:45, and now you've got to unleash the bangers.
We've got 15 minutes to go. right, we'll do one more. Right, one more. Let me have a flick.
Pause.
Flipping heck, man. Why is this guy always pausing, man?
It's because you say suspect things.
Oh, sorry, mate. Oh, there's just low boaters too many, man. Shout out to 117, but look at them with disgust and then try and feel sorry for their insecure DJ ego and inability to do the job properly. some kid named Dozy or Doze from Houston, Texas, he put, call up some other dope joints. There's always other good shit to play besides hits and add the skills to it. Game over 100. Yeah, pretty much it's a lot of the same. DJ Diverse in Oklahoma. There's so many Yanks, bruv. Big up the Yanks on this one. If you're a DJ who produces, you should have a crate of your own unreleased fire that no one else has, so you don't have to worry about this problem.
There you go.
That's true. So, yeah, man, there's loads, fam. But if you want to see the replies, guys, go and have a look. There's some good ones, man.
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing. At TalkOverPod on Twitter. That's where the tweet went out from. So, yeah, go and check it out. And also, we've got a list pinned to the headline, the head of Twitter, of all our episodes. So if you've missed any episodes, I think the first 26 are up at the moment. You can just click the first tweet and you'll see a whole thread of all the episodes with their links. I'm slowly but surely getting them all up, but yeah.
Man, it's hard work, that, bro. Big up your chest.
Long, and we're 60-something deep.
Working smart, fam.
You get me? Yeah, working smart. I fucking wouldn't do it at all if I was working smart.
Oh, fam, I'm going back to bed now. No, yes. That's just took all my energy, man. I'm done.
I'm going swimming.
Wow.
Yeah, why not?
You got your float.
I've got my armbands, mate.
Armbands, you got your float and your armbands.
I've got my armbands. I'm going swimming, kids. So, well, anyway.
Hashtag talk over pod clots.
Talk over pod
clots. The only pod clots. The only pod clot.
The original pod clot.
The original pod clot.
Yeah, don't forget, post it in your Insta stories if you're feeling it. Follow us on Twitter at TalkOverPod. And most importantly, the good thing is the stats are showing that the pod clart is growing week on week. We're getting a bigger and bigger audience. So this is sick. Keep telling your people, keep putting people on, man. The more that listen, the better it is, basically. So, yeah, I think that's it.
Good stuff, man. That's it, the end. I'm gone. Peace out, you little blood clart.
You little bitch.